Hello, Darren Alf here from BicycleTuringPro.com. Today I'm on the phone with Tim and Cindy Travis from DownTheRoad.org. Tim and Cindy have been traveling around the world with their bicycles for the last 7.5 years. And so I got them on the phone today, and I'm going to ask them some tough questions about their motivations behind the trip, how they support themselves while they're out on the road. And I've also asked them to give some advice to you for your future bike travels. So without further ado, here is my interview with Tim and Cindy Travis. So I guess we can just start maybe at the beginning and explain like what you're doing and where you've gone over the last few years.
We have been bike touring around the world for the last 7.5 years, and it's gone by incredibly quick. We started in Prescott, Arizona, and went south through Mexico, Central America. That was our first year. Our next year was in South America. We started in Quito, Ecuador, and went south through Peru, Bolivia, Argentina, and Chile. Then we went to Southeast Asia and traveled through Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, a 9-month loop in China. Then we came down through Laos, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, then flew to Adelaide, Australia, and spent a year. And then from Darwin on the north end of Australia, we flew to New Zealand, spent 8 months there. Then last summer we flew to Alaska and rode down through Alaska, Canada, down the west coast to Arizona, spent the winter in Arizona. And then this spring, we went Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and then now we're in Indiana.
Wow. And so, to me, it sounds great, but some people might be thinking, why in the world would you want to do something like that? So, what made you want to do a big trip like this? It's not even a trip at this point, it's just your life. But, yeah, what made you want to do it?
Well, I guess we thought, why not? And it didn't necessarily start out as big, but it's grown larger and larger. And I don't know if we have any reasons why. It's like, why do you take any job or why do you make any decision? It just sort of fell into place for us.
Mm-hmm. It started out as a dream. Tim was dreaming. We were both working in Prescott, Arizona. Tim was dreaming about travel, and we were saving money to buy a new truck because we didn't want to have an auto payment. And Tim said, we can travel on that. So while we discussed what we were going to do, we just kept saving money. And Tim explained, you can travel cheap on a bike. And I thought, no, you can't. And eventually he made me realize, well, we can travel for a long time. And I really wanted to see a lot of the world. And the bike is, to me, the best way to get there.
Mm. So it's been 7.5 years, and you've gone to all these various places. What do you think about when you're on the bicycle? What do you think about when you're traveling? I mean, there's so much time, you know?
We think about the local politics of whatever country we're in. We think about the weather, of course. We think about the cultures and the religions, and we discuss things that we read in the paper or hear on the radio or just whatever's here and now. We're very here and now. And
We also talk about the economics. When we left, I didn't think a lot of those things were important, but after traveling through so many different countries and seeing the effect of politics on everyday life, the effect of education, the effect of economics, those kind of things, We end up discussing and comparing and contrasting and realizing we have a lot here in the U.S.
Yeah. Can you, like, differentiate now between various places, or do they all kind of, like, get muddled together in a certain, like, is, like, in your head, is Peru totally different from Brazil, or are there similarities, and does that make sense? Kind of start to look the same after a while?
Well, I wouldn't say the same, but there's a certain characteristics of humans in any country, that are the same. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. wants their children to do better than them, and everybody wants to not be ripped off by the government, and everybody has certain commonalities. Everybody hates a flat tire or a broken car or a leaky roof. So some things do become not just a Peru thing or a Cambodia thing, but a human thing. And other things are very uniquely specific to each country.
Hmm. Okay.
You've been traveling for so long. How do you think this is different from going on like a traditional bike tour where you're away for a week or a month or maybe even a year? But how is what you're doing different?
I think what makes us different is we have a lot more time. So we don't have the schedule that most people have. We ride 4 or 5 hours a day, but we have more time to get where we're going. So we end up spending more time talking to people, meeting people, having the ability to change plans right away rather than saying, oh, I have to get such and such a place because my plane leaves.
Right. With no end of the trip, it changes everything because we have really nowhere to be. So, you know, I like to make the joke to people that we leave late and end early, which is not altogether the way it goes every day. But we do, we ride less miles than a lot of people. We'll cross the U.S. in twice the amount of time it takes for someone else, and we'll cross any given country in double the time that other people do. And that's simply because we don't have any deadline or destination. We're just going a year from now, we'll be in some other country doing the same thing. And 5 years from now, we'll be doing the same thing. So there's no rush to get there because there's no there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of similar to what I've been doing, I guess, on my trip. This recent trip in Europe is I've been stopping and staying in a place for a month or a while, and then cycling on, and then staying there for a while and cycling on. So it's certainly different than where you're, yeah, going to a different place every single night and trying to pump out 60, 80, 100 miles or whatever. When people ask you like what do you do, or you know, how do you describe yourself? Do you say like I'm a traveler, or what do you say exactly?
Well, we've learned when we talk to people not to hit them over the head with I've been riding my bike around the world for 7 years. So if just a layperson on the street asked us what we do, I might say I was a teacher. And if they probe into that, we go, well, I was a teacher, but I quit and we've been on a trip. Or if people ask us, if they asked us today, where did you start? We would say Alaska. Or more clearly, we'd say in this continent, we started in Alaska. So we're not a lie, but it's a lot to swallow to tell people that we've been gone for 7 years and all that. So we tend to tone it down until they probe. And if they probe, we won't lie, but we don't hit them over the head with the whole thing from the beginning either.
But do you like being like classified, I guess, as bicycle tourists? Or do you think like what you're doing is it really bicycle touring, or is it something else?
I've never thought of a classification for us before. We had to search long and hard for our tax status, and we're officially international itinerants.
Ah, that's a good word. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the reason I ask is simply because I've been thinking about that myself recently, and I don't like the word tourist, you know, because I think that has, like that has some sort of connotation that like I'm walking around wearing a fanny pack and taking pictures and like, you know, I don't know, just you get, you know what I'm talking about? Like
yeah.
Your typical tourist. And I think that people like you who are, it's, you're not on like a short trip. This is no longer a trip. It's just the way you live. So I don't know. I just feel like what you're doing, and what there are a few other people that live this sort of lifestyle, that it's like beyond bike touring, you know? So anyways, I was just curious if you thought about it that way or if I'm just crazy.
I think we're more like bike travelers. I consider myself more a traveler than a tourist, because a friend of mine, when I told him what we were doing, he kind of summed it up really well, and he says, oh, you're travelers that use a bike for transportation. And so
right.
I kind of look at myself more of as a traveler, a bike traveler. We certainly travel on our bike and use it to get places. But a tourist, I don't really think we fall into the tourist category as as easily as, say, someone who's going for a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I would never say we're superior to a tourist. And to be fair, we always have a tourist visa and not a traveler visa. So on right. official paper, on paper, we're tourists. But I think we're just doing, it's just a little different. And not to dismiss from anybody who takes a trip for a week to some country and takes pictures. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's right. a difference of this is where we live and not a place we visit.
Yeah. No, you're totally right, Tim. And sometimes I talk about this stuff and it comes out wrong, but I do think you're totally right. I just think that there's a difference between these types of bike tours, and it feels to me at least that sometimes people treat bicycle touring as all one thing, you know, and that they feel like there's one way to do it. And I don't think that's true at all. There's so many different ways to do it, and none of them are correct, really. You know? And none of them are wrong.
That's yeah. the beauty of bike touring.
Yeah, yeah. So, off that subject, thank you for answering. I wanted to ask, like traveling as a couple, does that help? And if you were alone, do you think that you could do this trip for 7.5 years plus?
Well, I can speak from my end as being a woman on the road. When we travel through third world countries, it's awful nice to have Tim there because he certainly protects me. He keeps an eye on security. As bike touring as a couple, we divide our chores up. So it's much easier, I think, with two people. The tent goes up faster. I cook. He puts the tent up. So as a team, things, you have less work to do, and in theory, you carry less.
And from my perspective, it's easier for me to meet people when I have Cindy. Because as a single man, if you're meeting like another woman, they're always afraid of, you know, you're trying to date them or ask them out or something. But with Cindy, all that's off, and I can be friends with everybody, and you're less threatening as a couple, and we certainly know a lot more people because we're a couple, and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. What about technology? Are you traveling with a computer or what kind of gear, as far as technology is concerned, do you have with you?
Well, when we first left, we brought a laptop from day one. And in 2002, that was almost unheard of. And we got all these comments about bringing a computer and all that. Now it's common. And now that it's common and we do so much work on the internet, we each work 20 to 30 hours a week on the computer. Now we've gone to two computers. We each have one, so we don't fight over the one we had. And beyond that, we have a camera, and we try to keep it as simple as possible.
A phone,
no.
And that's it?
Well, I'm not thinking of everything we have.
No GPS.
No GPS.
Yeah. Okay.
I would use one if I had one, but we just can't afford one.
And that's it. All right. Well, you touched on it there. You said you work 20 to 30 hours a week. What kind of work are you doing, and how do you support yourself while you're traveling?
Well, it's a lot to keep up the website. I think when people leave and they think, oh, I won't have a job anymore, I can do all this stuff, but in the end, bike touring takes a lot of time, and then to work on the computer on top of it takes a lot of time. But updating the website, we have over 25,000 pictures on the site. They all had to be handpicked and labeled one at a time through the years. I do a lot of writing. I write newsletters. I write magazine articles and things like this, and do a lot of writing on the site. And it all adds up to a lot of computer time.
And you've written two books as well.
We have written two books along the way. That's been done in our tent, in campgrounds, those kind of places. So we're always working on something. We always have a project going. I do Twitter now. That's really how I keep our up-to-date blog. I love it because it's so here and now.
I have a Facebook page under Tim Travis. Cindy's Twitter is downtheroad.org, no dot. And that's taken a lot of time, and it keeps evolving. The thing about the computer business or the internet business is you got to stay ahead of the ball, or you'll get left behind really quickly. So I do a lot of research. I listen to a lot of tech podcasts that keep me up to date on certain things, and we forge ahead in a brave new world.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, though, because, like, bike touring, a lot of people go on bike tours to get away from technology, and I think there's this new generation of bike tourists who are, like, realizing they don't want to get away necessarily, but they want to integrate technology with their travels. And it seems like that's what you're doing. I think that's what I'm doing. It's kind of interesting.
Well, if you're away for a short time, it would be nice to get away from it all. But we're away so long that we try to watch the news or listen to the news on a radio. We try to be in the mainstream as much as possible. But when you live like we do on the bike, the mainstream is hard to obtain. And you have to work at being as normal as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think it's possible for other people to, like, follow in your footsteps and live this sort of lifestyle where they can travel and, like, do the things that they like to do and make enough money to get by?
Absolutely. I don't think there's anything special about us. I'm pretty sure we're not even first, but it would not be hard. The thing that people need to understand is there's a lot of hours of work involved in this, that there is no get-rich-quick scheme. It took us 5 years just to break even with money, and it's a long, slow slug of not spending much and making a little and making just decisions and planning ahead. So it can be done by anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Just this week I've gotten 3 emails from people asking me essentially, like, how can I do what I want to do and get paid for it? Because I've admitted on my site that I make enough money to get by based off my internet work, which I can do from anywhere. And I don't know how to answer the question simply because, like you said, it's taken me years to get to this point. You know, it's not something that I just started a week ago and suddenly my lifestyle is magically being paid for or something. So it's good to hear, I guess, that, yeah, it does take time.
A big key to how we make a living is the 2 books we wrote. Without those, I don't think we'd be making a living at this.
Really?
That the writing and self-publishing of 2 books is at least half of our income, if not more.
Okay. That's very good to know. One of my goals with Bicycle Turn Pro is to get more young people involved, because I think I recently did a survey of my readers, and most of them were between 45 and 65, somewhere in there, you know. And the other main category is between 16 and 30, you know, something like that. And I'd really like to boost that smaller group, the younger group. How do you think I could do that? How do you think I could get more young people involved?
You know, I think it's happening naturally because in the 20-year-old realm, there is a big fixie, single-speed, bike-to-work movement going on. And the natural progression from that is to bike for travel and to bike tour. So I think it'll happen on its own. I don't think any of us can guide the young generation. I think they have to guide themselves. And I think they're coming to it. I think it's a natural progression of what's already happening in the bike world.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good answer. What's been the best part of your trip so far, do you think? Do people ask you that a lot?
Sometimes, yes. A lot of people ask us where's the best place we've been. But for the best part of the trip, for me, has been the gift of time. The gift of time to talk to people, to meet with people, to really look around and have time to digest what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing. And I can't explain it any other way than that. It's just the gift of time and being relaxed and not as much stress.
It's hard to pinpoint the best thing because almost any day without a problem is the best day. And it's easy to list the 12 things that were big, bad days, you know, like when we got arrested in China or when Cindy got sick in the Yukon and Canada and whatnot. any day that goes well, which is most of them, is almost as good as any other day that goes well. We really enjoy what we do, and if we have a good day, then it doesn't seem any better than any other day. They all seem good, except for a few exceptions.
Hmm. Okay. Have there been times when something bad has happened and you've wanted to quit?
Well, not quit. Maybe Cindy can answer this.
One particular time comes to mind, and we were traveling in the Himalayas, and we were heading towards the Tibetan Plateau. We were going over one more large pass, and I just was ill, and I didn't want to go on, and Tim had to sit and convince me that the next hill, over the next hill, is the Yunnan province, and it's going to be fall and lots of vegetables. I was tired of the altitude, tired of the bad food, and he convinced me to just push on, and it was worth it. So that's about the only time I've had a low point. One good thing about Tim is we make sure we have enough creature comforts to not just want to throw the bike and leave. The best part is the riding, and we can work around and make things better on the other end.
I would say for us, we're past the point of no return, and quitting is not an option.
Yeah.
This is what we do, and there's no turning back. I mean, I can't even imagine what we'd do if we weren't doing this. I don't think we're employable anymore. We've been working for ourselves for so long. We've been working for our, I mean, that's probably not true, but we've been working for ourselves for so long, it would be really hard to go back to working for somebody else.
Right.
And so that when things get bad, we wish we weren't there. We wish we weren't in the pouring rain or, you know, stuck in the mud or whatever. But we never think we want to quit. We just think we want to be somewhere drier and warmer and all that.
Yeah. What about for somebody who's new to bike touring and they encounter their first little hill or, you know, first obstacle and they're thinking to themselves, oh gosh, what have I gotten myself into? What advice would you give them?
One of the things I've learned on this trip is to try and endure and push yourself to the limit and see how far you can take it. And when you're in a tough spot, one of the things that Tim has taught me is instead of saying I can't, you say I can. And it's amazing what you can do when you say I can. It's really just a positive outlook. And when it was awful in the rain and the lightning, still I say I can because I have no other choice. I mean, you can't just sit down there and say I give up. You just you push on. And when you do that two or three times, you build the confidence to say, yes, I can pedal up that hill. And yes, I can, you know, last through this rainstorm. And you just keep moving on. And that's another gift of this trip.
I also think you have to have the belief that something's going to come along. I mean, if it's getting dark and you can't find a place, you just have to believe that sooner or later something's going to come up. You're going to meet the guy that lets you stay in the house, or you're going to find a place to camp, or you're going to find something. Because we're all still here. All the bike people who have bike toured are all still here. So something has always come along for all of us, and if you're in a tight spot, something will come along.
Yeah. Well, it's just like life, I guess, to a certain extent. I mean, if you quit every single time something hard comes up, then you never reap the rewards that come from tackling that obstacle. Right?
Yeah, and it's all on your definition of quitting. I mean, if things got bad and you had to get in a bus, I don't consider that quitting. That's just another way of doing it. And
right, exactly.
You know, quitting is actually getting a plane ticket home, I guess. So,
yeah.
You know, all the options are open. You don't have to ride every inch of your route, and everything's available to you, and that none of that's quitting, you know.
Right. It's just playing by different rules, maybe.
Or
yeah.
Playing
it's
by
your own rules.
Playing
yeah.
by no rules. That
no
it's,
rules.
It's your trip. It's your life. You make it up as you go, and almost everything's acceptable.
Yeah. So, Tim, I think you touched on this a little bit earlier, but do you think that there will ever be a time when your travels come to an end?
Well, on the website, we say we have no plans to stop. But to to be realistic, we all get older, and we plan to go for the next 20 or 25 years, but sooner or later, we'll probably have a health problem or something will come along, or we just plan on get tired of it, because there's no rules for us, and we can, right. If it made sense to quit, we would quit. But I don't really, we can't picture that now, but to be open-minded, we have to say, well, sooner or later, the day will come when we quit. We can't literally do this indefinitely because soon, you know, sooner or later, we all die.
But having been to so many places in the world, do you think it would be difficult to pick, like, one place to settle down in?
Yeah, very much so. We're nomadic at heart. Our idea of retiring from this would be to get a motorhome and drive around. So it would be hard to picture us staying in one place, although it could have. We do own a house in Arizona that we could someday return to.
Yeah. Do you think, like, right now, if you had to pick a place anywhere in the world, like, based off the places that you've been, do you think that there's – where would you want to live?
Well, and we've said this in a lot of our public appearances and presentations is, and this might be hard to believe, but if we had to pick one small country, a province or state, which we had to spend the rest of our lives, I think we would still pick Arizona. Where we live in Arizona and where we own our house in Arizona is nearly a paradise for cycling and for the weather and for the people, and it's really great. Now, if I was stuck to a continent, I would pick South America or North America, and not. We haven't been to all continents and places, so maybe my opinion of that will change. But we really still love Arizona.
Yeah, it's a funny thing to go around for 7 years and come back to home, where we consider home in my mind as Prescott, Arizona, and thinking, oh, I still really like it here, and I could live here. So if we ended our trip tomorrow, going back to Prescott wouldn't be an awful thing. It'd be okay.
Huh, very interesting.
I'm glad we own a house there. Because it gives us a little peace of mind. There's a little piece of the earth that's ours, and if we ever got tired of this, that's as worse as it's going to get, is that we're going to go back to what we consider paradise and live in our house, which we consider really nice. I think it makes it easier to stay out for a long time if you're not worried about what you're going to do when you grow up, because we know what we would do, and we've done it, and we're not going to, you know, we know what we're going to be when we grow up, and we know where we're going to live when we settle down. And I think that makes that kind of a safety net, or that knowing what the other options are, makes it much easier for a long time.
Yeah. So what are your plans for the future now? I mean, you were telling me earlier, but
we're going to travel around New England. We have several public appearances going off in New York and New England area. Back to my sister's house in Indiana in October for an event called the Hilly 100. And that'll be our last event because it's getting cold. And then we're going to visit with my family a good long time because I've seen them and hung out with them. And then January and February, we to India and neighbors and spend about 3 years in Bangladesh, Bhutan if we can get in, Nepal, Pakistan. If we could get a visa for Iran, we would cross Iran and then go to Turkey and Africa, and who knows. But we plan to be in the India and neighbors area for at least 3 years.
The last thing I just wanted to ask you is, for if you had like one piece of advice for somebody that wants to kind of follow in your footsteps and travel the world, what would you tell them?
Well, and I was just writing an email to some people from Quebec who are going off, and the one quick advice I said is take your plan and double your time, or cut your distance in half and double your money. Most people plan too many places with too few amount of time. So I would take the distance you originally planned and cut it in half, given a finite amount of time. And if you could double the time, then you could keep the distance. And also, a lot of people have pretty big expectations on how cheaply they can travel. And while it's true that bike touring is an incredibly cheap way to travel, bare bones is not always the most comfortable for everybody. So we get asked this all the time, and I say cut your distance in half and double your money.
I think that's good advice. Cindy, do you have anything different or no?
You know, I think the thing that's kept us on the road, back to money again, is we have a budget. Pick your budget and stay in your budget. And so I assess that on a day-to-day travels, and you'll find that you'll make better decisions on what you really want to do based on your time and your money.
As far and I would have to add, as far as making a living from this kind of a life, don't expect to get rich quick from this. This is a very slow way to be poor, and there is no getting rich quick on the internet that I've seen. And you know, this is where, you know, it took us years to break even. And if you're taking off and you wanted to make a living at this, I would save up money for years and hope you're breaking even at the end of several years on the road.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Well, I think that's all I really wanted to ask you. We gotta mention the website, which is downtheroad.org, right?
Downtheroad.org, and if we're on Facebook under Tim Travis, I think I might have said that one already, and we're on Twitter, and everything can be found on the website.
And we're on Twitter, downtheroad.org.
And the books, if people want to get the books, they're available on Amazon. And
they're also available from our webpage, and they're on sale right now if you buy both books. And so go ahead to our website and click on our books, and you'll see the sale.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to speak with me. It's very cool that I could finally connect with you. So.
Well, when we're both travelers, we're both travelers and we're both wanderers, you and I, and it's hard to both of us find internet and time off the road at the same time. So we've been playing this for several months.
Yep. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you.
Yep. I'll be in touch with you guys. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Once again, that was Tim and Cindy Travis from downtheroad.org, www.downtheroad.org. All the information about their trips, their books, etc. can be found on their website. And that's it for today. I'm Darren Alf from BicycleTuningPro.com, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.